This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. For poets, inspiration can come from almost anywhere. A word, a sound, an idea, an emotion. For Sebastian Matthews, it was an intimate brush with death. Almost 7 years ago, he and his family were involved in a head-on collision on a North Carolina highway. Only time could heal his body, but writing helped heal his mind. The experience gave him a new perspective on what it means to be able-bodied and resulted in a collection of writing. It's called Beginner's Guide to a Head-On Collision. Sebastian Matthews joins us from Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Welcome, Sebastian.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I wonder if I can take you back to that accident that inspired this book of writing.
Okay, I'll go there. What do you want to know? I mean,
tell us about the accident.
Okay. We were just driving along. It was one of the kind of ironies of the whole experience was that we were going on a family day and going up to the Spruce Pine, and we're just at the end of a week and end of a long day, very happy and just really kind of in our lives and in our bodies, and you know, kind of looking up, and suddenly a car is in your lane, and then everything changes. The guy, it turns out, had died of a heart attack, or was in the throes of dying, and so we were really unlucky in a lot of ways, in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And you were trapped behind the steering wheel after the crash, but there were EMS personnel not far away, right?
Yeah, it's one of those kind of, you know, lucky, unlucky situations. Actually, the car in front of us that nearly got hit, they were actually EMSs in their own as volunteers. And so they were at our window sides almost immediately, and a teenage boy took our son out of the car. And then the EMSs from the area came not too long after, and so we were definitely fortunate to have really good help.
So tell us about what injuries did you sustain? What about your wife and child?
Yeah, my boy came out really much scot-free and physically. He had a seatbelt burn and maybe a little whiplash, who knows, but he was basically fine. He was in the car seat. He was in the back. My wife broke both her legs, her tibias, I think, crushed her heel, one of her heels, broke an arm. For me, with the steering wheel, it was a lot of ribs, sternum, but I also broke my hip. I broke my, fibula? No, what's the big bone?
No, I flunked biology, but it's one of the big bones in the leg. Yeah.
Yeah, I broke my leg right in the middle there, and kind of cracked my kneecap, broke both my feet, really got nailed.
So talk about the rehab, because you and your wife, in a sense, had to go through a lot of this together, right?
Yes, we did. That was the blessing of it, was we were separated after the accident. I was flown to a hospital in Charlotte, and she was taken back to Asheville, and we didn't get kind of back together again for a couple of weeks, but then we did our rehabilitation together, and it was really, you know, hard to be away from our son, but what helped was to be with each other and to be close to home. And then when we got home, the rehab started more in earnest and over a longer period of time. And it's a femur, I just remembered.
How long a period were you in rehab and sort of out of commission? I know it's a process, but how long did it take to get you back?
You know, my wife and I often talk about the different stages of recovery, and like, I think it took about a year really to get back on our feet and be walking again and back in a car. And we, you know, it took us a couple months to get out of the rehab center, and then another year to kind of get our more psychological, emotional balance, some PTSD, and then also a little more and more fine tuning physical work around balance. And you know, and now after 7 years, it's almost like it's, you know, people say, are you 100% better? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm 52 and I'm feeling my age. And so maybe those injuries have kind of folded themselves into our daily life.
So tell us about the book, Beginner's Guide to a Head-On Collision. When did you start thinking about putting these poems together?
You know, I started writing some poems almost immediately. I kind of have that masochistic streak. I just kind of tend to write about what I experience. So I wrote a poem in the post-op, I think the day after, or 2 days after. And But really, it wasn't until I started to try to approach the material head on, so to speak. And I really failed when I first tried, or I thought I failed. I wrote these poems that were kind of, they're called Dear Virgo poems, and they're kind of self-hating, kind of ironic and mean-spirited, kind of astrological missives is one way I thought of it. And they were, I was unable to look at this, the crash head on. And so I tried again a couple months later, and I set a goal of, okay, the first moment of the crash, the next moment of the crash, the next day. And I kind of, like concentric circles going out from the crash, tried to cover the experience and the aftermath as closely as I could. And when I got some of those down, I realized I probably had a book of some sort. It wasn't until I wrote some prose about the recovery process that I realized it was a hybrid book, a mixture of prose and poetry, and that it might have a kind of that concentric circle idea became actually the structure of the book.
I wonder if I could ask you to read one now, and I wonder maybe we could start with one of those Dear Virgo poems, Fight or Flight.
Sure. These are all 8-line poems. The Dear Virgo poems come throughout the book, and they start off kind of, like I said, a little bit self-hating and snarky, but they begin to get nicer and nicer as the recovery process takes hold. Dear Virgo, fight or flight, the therapist intones, root impulse, cellular tug. But now she asks, how often are you really in danger? Admit it, hardly ever. You'd kill to wrap your hands around that jerk's neck who cut you off. But of course, he's not your enemy, only a stalking horse for something closer. Where are you in your body? Can you feel your feet?
Sebastian Matthews reading from his new poetic memoir, Beginner's Guide to a Head-On Collision. Tell us more about that, because in this you also deal with your feelings about the man responsible for the accident, who, as you say, died of a heart attack at the wheel, so in some ways not responsible, and yet, were it not for him, you wouldn't be there. So talk about the challenging feelings you had and how you dealt with them in these works.
Yeah, that's a good, you know, we really had a hard time getting angry about the whole situation because he had died, and we knew that he had a son that was now without his father, and so that really resonated for us. But at the same time, you know, there was a lot of intense feeling around having our life interrupted and being so unlucky in a sense, and so maybe that was why some of the poems, the Dear Virgo poems, began to turn towards self-loathing or some kind of depression, because really there was no rallying cry of how dare he, or you know, there was no drinking involved, there was no speeding involved. It was just an unfortunate situation.
You talk also about the concentric circles that is the effect of reading these works in series. And in this poem, in the Dear Virgo poem that you just read, there's also this sense of going outside, looking at the events from outside, your feelings, and then you ask the question in the end, where are you in your body? A sense of maybe some kind of inner quiet, some place where none of this is in some ways not so relevant. Was that part of what was happening with you, a kind of journey to the center?
That's exactly right. You know, and those lines at the end of that poem are kind of me talking to myself and kind of me imagining a therapist, what they might say or what they did say. And so it's a continual kind of delving in. And then also there are moments during the crash or soon after and during the process of rehabilitation of being out of body and looking down on the situation, trying to get back into the body, trying to heal the body. And So there are definitely kind of poems that look inward and poems that kind of look out.
There are also poems that explore your relationship with friends and the way they deal with all of this. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we were, you know, incredibly lucky to, we are incredibly lucky to have such an amazing group of people and to live in such an amazing place. We had folks from the Warren Wilson College where we both were teaching at the time that were really engaged, and just like they built a ramp almost immediately in our house, and our neighbors were incredible. They'd walked our dogs. You know, Allie's parents came and lived with my son, and my parents came, and the Jewish community, our synagogue that we attended, all those folks came. The writing community, it was almost like at a certain point, it's like, okay, everybody go home, please. You know, like we need some privacy. But that was months out. You know, yeah. We were just so lucky. We were out of it, you know, and right. So to have that kind of, you know, just attention and love. And down the line, over time, there was a question of, you know, are you okay now? Can we kind of move on?
Yeah.
And that was a little difficult because I wanted to say no, but I also didn't want to say no. I didn't want to.
Yeah, because clearly they're ready. I mean, there comes a point in which the friends are saying, now you're becoming a burden in their own way, right? I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah, stop talking about it. Yeah.
I wonder if I could ask you to read Lashana Tova.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Hold on. Lashana Tova. So many things to fear, so much to be sad about, legs like brittle sticks, but not today, not now. Old friends fill the rows alongside strangers. This morning, you are a family. How nice to be seated in among believers. A woman's voice chants Torah. A string in your heart, in your hurt chest reverberates. Two wheelchairs. An antsy boy. Happy New Year.
Sebastian Matthews reading Lashana Tova, part of a new poetic memoir, Beginner's Guide to a Head-On Collision. Obviously, the religious community around you was important to you. Did religion and your sense of your relationship with your religion play a part in your recovery?
That's a good question. I was raised pretty much an atheist, or I became one or felt like I was one since I was a young boy. Though I began to realize in my teens and 20s that there was spiritual life and there were things to explore, and it became a bit of a seeker. So when I got married to my wife, Allie, and we began to have a family, and we really consciously decided to raise our son inside the Jewish faith. There was much support in that world that buoyed us. And for instance, my son was moving towards his bar mitzvah, which he had last year. And so the family, the culture of that journey really informed so much of the recovery. But personally, I had a different, I don't know how to put it, but it wasn't a negative. It was just that I had to kind of struggle with finding my way, as I always did.
I'm talking with Sebastian Matthews today. His book is Beginner's Guide to a Head-On Collision, and we're having that conversation on the state of things. You also talk about the insights you had into what it means to be able-bodied, because for a while you weren't. Tell us more about those insights.
Yeah, you know, it just was one of those kind of, you had to experience it, kind of no-brainers of realizing, you know, I really, you know, you want to be able to empathize and have an awareness of people's experience other than your own. I for one, have worked on it, you know, most of my life trying to connect. It's as a writer, empathy is one of the key tools. But, you know, suddenly being in a wheelchair and not being able to get out of bed, not being able to go to the bathroom on your own, not being able to walk, you know, the view, the vantage, the experience of those different places and where I was, both in my body and my mind, and same with my wife, you know, in the pool, trying to, you know, first get the feet going. I realized how hard it could be, and how then over time, just how normal it was to be struggling. And I realized that we all struggle, and we all have our limitations, and we all have our, you know, advantages. And so for me, it was just a kind of eye opener, and to work with such amazing people in the healing services, the occupational therapists, and all those folks, their attention and quality of love, almost, you know, in a way that was not personal, just kind of blew my mind.
I wonder if I could ask you to read another poem that talks about this. Dear Virgo, you are a tourist.
Sure. Dear Virgo, you are a tourist in the land of handicap, briefly inhabiting its space, soon to exit. There is much to learn while there, much to view. Still, even in the present, you are three steps in the past, peering in. You were inclined to look away as much as we were not supposed to stand and gawk at you.
Sebastian Matthews reading the poem Dear Virgo, one of many Dear Virgo poems in his collection, Beginner's Guide to a Head-On Collision. You were writing before this and teaching writing. How did this experience and writing these works, these pieces, or did it, change the way you approach writing?
That's a good question. Well, in terms of teaching, I stopped teaching about a year after the accident and really haven't done full-time teaching since. So in some ways, it really did kind of swerve. It gave me a swerve in that role in my life. As a writer, I kind of burned myself out on writing poems, and the essay was a hard essay to write so directly about the accident. So in some ways, it kind of I felt scalded by the experience, and I didn't write poems for a couple of years, and turned back to prose. And I think that's the most extreme way. I mean, but I've always been a
forgive me for interrupting, but in terms of the way a writer accesses the material, obviously you try to write about things, you know, you're going to empathize and have some experience with it. So you're writing from an experience. But this one seems so profound and, again, traumatic. You know, does it change your touch points and ways in which you access the truth that you try to get to in your writing? Hmm.
That's a difficult question. I think so. I mean, I guess the way I can answer it, my sense of awareness of how to answer that question is a little shallow, I think, because I'm still in the process of pivoting or transitioning to a new kind of writing. I'm working on pieces that are outward turned, witnessing, trying to look at the world that's been going on the last couple of years as we shift from Obama to Trump life, or the world of how things have shifted and, in my mind, kind of gotten worse. And so I've challenged myself to go out as much as possible and witness, interact with, talk to, and participate in engagement, engage with people, and then try to tell those encounters, get those encounters on the page. So I think being so personal and so in the first person eye and shut in by that, and being shut in my life, I've tried to turn the other way and turn outward.
Sebastian Matthews, an Asheville poet and writer who survived a head-on collision and lived to tell about it. The tale is told in ways in his book, Beginner's Guide to a Head-On Collision. He joined us from Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Sebastian, thank you so much.
Oh, Frank, thank you so much for having me.
You can find out more about the book and everything else we talked about today at our website, stateofthings.org. The program is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Robert Kinlaw, Dana Terry, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.